You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Willis Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
We'll turn to Proverbs 4. I'm going to talk about your heart tonight, keeping our heart with all diligence. In Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, "My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh." You know, I quote that quite a bit. And y'all have probably heard messages. Brother Osteen preached on this. Different ones have, about how God's word is like God's pills. The Gospels are God's pills, or God's Word is God's pills. You know, when you go to a doctor and you're sick, he might prescribe some kind of medication that you need to take. And you might take it once a day for several days, or maybe it's something that you have to take every day for the rest of your life, according to what the doctor said. Of course, you can believe for that to change. But we're usually pretty good about doing what the doctor says, about taking our medication when we're supposed to. If we miss a dose, then we're supposed to take it as soon as possible when we remember, and don't take more than this, and don't do that, and you have to make sure it's the right dosage, and because it can have harmful effects. And how do you like those commercials when they talk about all these different medications? You know, talk to your doctor about this, and real quickly they go, and these are the side effects that could take place. You could have this, and you could have that, and you could have this, and you could have that, and you kind of want to go, do I want that medication? But sometimes we forget that we have medication right here. Amen. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying don't take your medication. I'm just saying that we have medication here because the Bible says that the God's Word is life and health to all of our flesh. And in 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper." So there's a gauge. And there's really a gauge in this scripture too, that if we're gonna prosper and we're gonna be in health as our souls prosper, as our hearts prosper. Yeah. So when we, you know, you could write down scriptures on healing if you need healing in your body, and you could take those every day, take your medication, and read the scriptures out loud to yourself. If you take it once a day or 3 times a day, your medication, take the Word of God. You might only take it once a day, so you can take the Word of God as much as you want to, as much as you need to, all day long, every day, all night, and there's no overdose to it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You might just wish you were in heaven faster if you do that, because you're going to experience some things in your life. Things are going to change. Things will change. They'll line up with the Word of God. They'll start you'll have such peace that you'll just wonder where did it come from? Well, it came from the Word. Yeah. You'll experience such joy, such a hunger for more of the Word. You know, you can't get. It's like the more you spend time with God, the more you spend time in His presence, the more you spend time in His Word, you don't reach a place that you said, "Oh, that's enough. I don't need any more." It just makes you more hungry for more of Him. Mm-hmm. So the next verse of Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So if we picture your heart, let's just say the, you know, heart like that, the one picture that we have, not the throbbing, slimy thing that's inside our heart. So it's just a picture of, you know. But out of our heart flows the issues of life. So if we keep it with all diligence, if we keep our heart fed, if we keep our inner man fed the Word of God, you know, if we could see, would we want everybody to see what our inner man looks like? You know, if he's real skinny. I mean, like, you know, this is just an analogy. You can't carry it all the way through. But if you haven't been feeding your inner man the Word of God, what does he look like? Is he all scrawny? or is he like, you know, built? That's what we want him to be. We want him to be buff, you know. Well, I don't know all the terminology. Sounds good, huh? Michael was showing me a picture. You know, he and the boys work out, and he had gotten a magazine on, you know, bodybuilding and stuff, and showed a man who was pretty overweight and had the way he was sitting had all these rolls, and we won't talk about mine, but anyway. And then after working out, I didn't read the caption to see how long it was, but he had a six pack and he was all bulked up. And Michael said, okay, see, it doesn't matter what kind of shape you are in. When you start, you can change your body. And so it doesn't matter what shape your born again spirit is in, you can still bulk him up. You know, so we can feed him and bulk him up. We can keep our heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. You know, we don't need to wait until we have an opposition to get the word. We need to be feeding ourselves the word all the time and guarding our heart. And I'm just going to, you don't have to turn here. I'm going to go through several scriptures really quick. And Psalms 119, you're real familiar with this one. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we want to hide God's word in our hearts so that it keeps us from sin, sinning. We want to know what the word of God says about every situation, about sin. We want to know what the word says about peace, about comfort, about protection, about Him supplying our every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We want to know what it says about healing, that He is our physician. If we serve Him, He will bless our bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of us. By the stripes of Jesus that we are healed, like we've just read, His word is life and it's health to all of our flesh. And so we want to hide the word in our heart. In Psalms 40, verse 8, it says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Psalms 51:10 in the Amplified says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. So when we're born again, our heart is clean, and we have a clean, born-again spirit. But we need to feed it. We need to feed that inner man. You know, in Ephesians, the first chapter and the third chapter, there's prayers that Paul prayed for those at Ephesus. And in the first chapter, the prayer starts, I believe, in the 14th verse. And then it says, I ask that you would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and to know the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. That same power that raised Christ from the dead. And so we want to be strengthened in our inner man. Amen? All right. Jeremiah 31:33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, we are a privileged generation, that our time period here, the covenant that we have, they didn't have that in the Old Testament. The word wasn't written on their hearts like it is now, because we have the Holy Spirit because we're born again. And so this is a covenant that we have with God, that He will put His law in our minds. You know, the Bible says renew our minds. And so we need to renew our minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I kind of hurriedly typed my notes, so I'll try not to get out. I'm not sure I typed them exactly in the order that I wanted to read them in tonight. But there are benefits. There's benefits to having the Word in our heart. You know, if you're in a situation, you've gone to visit someone and they have a need, you have the Word in your heart, then you'll have it to share with someone when they have a need. You know, if you go and visit someone at the hospital and you want to pray for them, you want to share the Word, what the Bible says about healing. And so you need to have that in your heart. And, you know, obviously it's going to be in your mind because you're reading it. And praying it and studying it. In Proverbs 14:30, it's in the Amplified, it says, "A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body." That's a benefit of having the Word. It's life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. Psalms 119:9, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed and keeping watch on himself, according to your word, conforming his life to it." So when we have the word, you know, we're supposed to be imitators of Christ as dear children. How can we imitate Christ if we don't even know who he is? If we don't know anything about him? If we don't know anything about the character of God? We have to find out what the Bible says about about God, about our Father, about Jesus, our Savior, our elder brother, our shield and our buckler, our strength. And so we need to find out what the Bible says so that we can conform our life to what the Word says and to who God is and who we are in Christ. Psalms 119:130. There's a lot of Psalms that I wrote, scriptures that I'm using tonight. Psalms 119:130 in the Amplified. "The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple." You know, whenever you read the Bible, you might say, "Well, I don't really quite understand this." Well, the entrance of the Word gives light, and it gives you understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. It doesn't matter what kind of education you have, what level, if you're very educated or not very educated, it doesn't matter. Or maybe your IQ is not real high, or maybe it's real low, but God can still give you understanding of what the Word says. You know, Barry and... how many of you remember Barry and Lynn Follett? They've been here from Australia. They've ministered for us. Real sweet couple. They pastor in Terrigal, Australia, close to Sydney. And he couldn't read when he got born again. And he had some type of problem with his eyes or something. I heard his testimony. I didn't listen real close. I can't remember all the details. But God helped him to learn to be able to read and to see it, visually see it, and to read it without having been able to before. And I've heard other stories about that, how people have been born again, called into the ministry, couldn't read, and God just supernaturally taught them what the Word said. And they learned how, He taught them how to read the Bible. So maybe you're in that place. You can't read. You can't comprehend. You can't understand what the Scripture is saying. That's one reason we need teachers, Bible teachers. But the Holy Spirit will also. He is our teacher too. So He will open up the Word to you. Okay, Psalms 138, verse 3 in the Amplified says, "In the day when I called, you answered me, and you strengthened me with strength, might, and inflexibility to temptation in my inner self." So we get strength in our inner self when we call upon the Lord. He will strengthen us. Might, He gives us might, strength, and inflexibility to temptation. Proverbs 15, verse 30, "The light in the eyes of him whose heart is joyful rejoices the hearts of others, and good news nourishes the bones." So when you're full of joy, when you're full of the Word, and the joy of the Lord is just flowing out of you, it lights you up. Have you, when you talk to people, there's just a joy about them, there's a glow about them, and you kind of are envious, you want that, and you want that in your life, but it makes other people joyful. It's contagious. When you're hungry for the Word, it is contagious. When you're talking the Word with people, when I was reading my Bible, I saw this scripture, I saw that scripture, and a lot of these scriptures I'm sharing with you tonight are scriptures that I have written down in my journal. When I'm reading my Bible, doing my Bible reading, I've written these down because they meant so much. It just came alive to me, really spoke to me. And so the Word of God, this doesn't talk about, the Word and the heart. It does say it rejoices the hearts. But yet the light in the eyes of him whose heart is joyful. Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And so we have joy because we have a good God who who meets our needs, who loves us with an everlasting love, who shed abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so we have that love, and it will overflow and reach out to other people and make them want what we have. Okay, Psalms 103, verse 17. But the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting upon those who reverently and worshipfully fear God or fear Him, and His righteousness is to children's children, to such as keep His covenant. So we are, because we're His children, because we're righteous, we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. This promises for us, to such as keep His covenant, when we keep His word, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it, and to those who earnestly remember His commandments to do them, imprinting them on their hearts. So we need to imprint God's word on our heart. We don't need to just be flippant about it. We need to make time for Him, make time for spending time in His word, and pursue it. You know, whenever you're studying, maybe you're in school or in college, you set aside time to study, or I hope you do. Sometimes it's a little more challenging for us some than others. But we pursue things that we're interested in. You know, if you're interested in a book, you'll just make time to read a book. Maybe the house, for me, my house doesn't get clean because I read a book all day. Don't go to sleep when I'm supposed to because I'm close to the end of this mystery and I want to finish it. If you like to hunt, you're going to, you know, scope out the where you're going to go hunt. You're going to see what you need. You're going to go to the store and buy all the, you know, the right kind of camo and the have the right kind of gun or bow. And, you know, and that's not my thing, so I don't know what all to share. But now, if you like to sew or you like to shop, now I can tell you where the sales are. I can tell you in the store. Okay, pennies. When you go upstairs, this is what's upstairs. Downstairs, I can tell you where it all is, you know. Because that's what I'm interested in, is looking at good deals and shopping for good deals. But you study it. You look for it. You want, you know, it's something that you are pursuing. Well, we need to pursue God much more importantly than we do those things, those worldly things. And so we need to pursue Him. You know, we're running a race. And we're not supposed to, it says, laying aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run our race. And so we need to, you know, it's just like working out. We had a friend that, we have a friend who runs marathons, or used to. And he lived with us for a short period of time. And he ran, you know, the 26.2 miles is a marathon. He would run 12 miles one day and 13 miles the next day. Every day. 12 miles one day, 13 miles the next day. Every single day. Well, he got his body in shape. And so when he went out there to run those 26.2 miles, he was able to do it. He was able to win marathons and to endure the that hardship of running because he had his body ready for it. Well, he studied. He knew how to do it. After he got married, he had a son, and his son was old. You know, as he grew up and went through school, he ran track. Well, the coach asked this friend of ours to come and help train his track people because he knew that he had run marathons all these years and knew how to help him condition his body and get ready for it. And so he helped train the track at the school, the track people in track. Okay, so we want to move on to Psalms 112, verse 7. In the Amplified, it says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings." This is us. We're not afraid of evil tidings. Our heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord. You know, you can't be confident in the Lord. You can't lean on Him. Your heart won't be firmly fixed if you don't know who He is and what He stands for. If you don't know His character, you don't know that He loves you. You don't know that He wants to protect you and He wants to meet your needs. So you can't be confident in that if you don't know who He is. In verse 8 it says, "His heart, this believer's heart, is established and steady. He will not be afraid while he waits to see his desire established upon his adversaries." So we have people that opposition. The devil wants to steal our joy. The devil wants to take our family. He wants to take our finances. He wants to stop us from serving God in any way that he can. He wants to get us sidetracked with, might not even be something big. Maybe it's fishing on Sundays or fishing on Wednesdays, so you miss church. He just wants to get you sidetracked. I heard Kenneth Copeland shared this one time. Years ago, he's obviously a preacher, but he also has a pilot's license, and he talked about how that when you're flying a plane, you know, they have to set their directions. I don't know how to fly a plane, so I can't tell you all the stuff that's on the board. But he said you can be 1 degree off course, and by the time you've reached, you know, like let's say it's 5,000 miles. That 1 degree, instead of going toward your goal, to the airport you're going to, that 1 degree can, by 5,000 miles, could have you way over here. Just 1 degree. And so that's what the devil wants to do. He wants us to get 1 degree off of serving God and pursuing him. All right, so we're going to keep our heart with all diligence, right? Okay, Psalms 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Yes, my heart instructs me in the night seasons. And in the Message translation, it says, the wise counsel God gives me when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Isn't that good? It's really good. So my heart instructs me in the night seasons. You know, in Proverbs 6, verse 23, it's very similar of Proverbs 4 through 23, 22 and 23. The Proverbs 6 is very similar to that in verses 20. It's talking about keeping the word in front of us and saying it. And then it says that the word will talk to you when you wake up. You know, it'll talk to you when you're walking. It'll talk to you when you wake up. Because, let me turn over there and read it. And it's not, it's, you know, you're thinking, you're dwelling on things that you're supposed to do, and maybe just the scripture will come up, you know, something maybe you hadn't even read. Let me read this. Proverbs 6, verse 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. I was not believing God about a situation a while back, and was really struggling, woke up several times through the night, for a couple of nights, just not, you know, just wasn't in faith. That's what it all boils down to. I was in doubt, not faith. And I was just laying there, and my mind was just racing, thinking about all the situation, and just trying to, you know, not really trying real hard to get off that, and then, you know, just thinking other things. And all of a sudden, and I mean, I was just really just stressed about it. I was in sin. I was in doubt. And this, it was just like all of a sudden I thought, Psalms 28. It wasn't me thinking that. It wasn't here that was thinking that. I really felt like the Holy Spirit said Psalms 28. So I went and read it. And it just calmed me down completely. I went to sleep. I slept good. My jacket's rubbing the microphone. And it says in Psalm, this is, doesn't have anything to do with my scripture, it's just an example, I mean my message, but it says in verse 6, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of your supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. But just that first verse, verse 6. Blessed are the Lord, because he has heard the voice of your supplications. I'm not saying I hadn't prayed about the situation. I had, but I just wasn't in faith yet. But I felt like, God, you have heard me. You are answering this prayer. What I am. And then I really got my act together and started confessing the word. And so things are changing. All right. Okay. So I want, you know, and in the, you know, we know that it's important what we put in, what we look at, what we hear, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but doubt comes by hearing and hearing by the words of doubt. So it's important that we guard our heart with all diligence. How are we guarding our heart? By what we're hearing, what we're watching, what we're saying, what we're listening to. You know, if you're around people and they're not positive, if they're not believing God and they're talking about the economy, you know, when you just, sometimes you just need to turn the radio off, the television off, you need to move on to different friends or, you know, hang around people, because we need to be built up. We need to build ourselves up. We need to walk in faith. We need to build up our faith and not let the things of the world drag us down and hold us back.
Yeah.
You know, I try to do this. I used to be better about it and just kind of get lazy. But, you know, when commercials come on, they try to sell you the sickness to get you by the medicine. You know, and then you hear people say, well, you know, it's, just heard somebody say this the other day, so-and-so in my, you know, this child is sick, and you know, it's going to go through the family.
Yeah.
You know, they call for it. And, but, you know, mute the commercial. I don't even like when they talk about depression medication. You don't have to hear what they're trying to tell you about, because it's all over the pictures that you're seeing, you know. So if you have a problem with depression, don't watch those commercials. Turn it off. Turn the channel for a second. Mute it. Walk out of the room. Turn your head. Don't look at it. But don't, because that is building up doubt of believing God for healing. So guard your heart. Out of, you know, in Matthew 12, 34 through 35, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things." So we have that, what comes out is what we've been putting in. And I shared this illustration before, that whenever you have a sponge, you know, and you're washing dishes or cleaning with it, if you put a sponge in clean water and pull it out and squeeze it, clean water is going to come out.
Yeah,
might be slightly contaminated from whatever was in the sponge, but you know, bear with me. You know, let's do this illustration right. If you use a sponge and wipe up dirt, and then you try to squeeze out, it's going to come out dirty water.
Right.
So if you think about, our hearts are like that. Yeah. If we, our minds are like that. If we put dirt in, dirt's going to come out. If we put clean in, the Word of God is clean. It's good. There's nothing that'll hurt you in here. It's good for you. So whenever pressure comes against you, whenever circumstances are pressing against you, holding you back, trying to steal your joy, trying to steal your peace, trying to steal your finances, trying to steal your faith, when that pressure comes, what's going to come out? By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. The Word of God is life and it's health to all my flesh. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome because Jesus has paid the price for me. I am righteous because Jesus shed his blood for me. So when that pressure comes, what's coming out? We need to make sure it's good that's coming out, so that the joy that we have will draw other people to the Lord too. Amen? All right. Okay. Only half a page. Just half a page left, okay? Obviously, we know that when we're born again, Romans 10, and I can't even turn the page. Romans 10, 10. Oh, this is a good scripture. Nothing to do with my message, but it's a good scripture. And in Romans 2, verse 4, it says, it's a conversation. Paul is talking, you know, talking about God, And it says, or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? You know how we hear stories about how people, that God had to kill this child to get people saved. Well, there's one person's already died to get us saved, and that was Jesus.
Amen.
God doesn't need anybody else to die to get us saved. But it says that know not that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. So it's God is good. He's good all the time. Yeah. He does not do bad things. In 1 John 1 verse 5 it says that God is light and in him is no darkness. There's nothing dark in God. There's no sin in God. In James 1:7 it says that there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Any way you look at God, he's good. He's light. He's not dark. There's no sin in him. There's no darkness. He does not do bad things. When we look at Jesus' life here on the earth, he always did good. Now, he did get mad because they had messed up the temple because they had money changers in there. He did run them out. But that was a holy, righteous thing to do, was to get the house clean before the Lord. But he didn't do anything bad. He didn't kill anybody. He raised them from the dead. He didn't make anybody sick to get it, draw attention to himself or to God. He healed them, and that people glorified God because they were healed. So there's nothing dark in the Lord. In Jeremiah 9:23. Oh, I didn't finish Romans. Romans 10. 8, 9, and 10. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So our heart has to change. Amen. All right, this is my last passage. Jeremiah 9:23. Y'all want to turn over there. We'll get out just a few minutes early tonight. Jeremiah 9:23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And in the Amplified it says, understand and know me personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character. We need to recognize the character of God. And that will make us just want to plunge in, jump in to him, into his presence. Like we sang the song about the glory. We want to run in. We want to jump in to his glory. We want to be close to him. We want to be like him. So I just want to challenge you. Check out your heart. Keep it with all diligence. Stir yourself up. Press in to what he has, what he says. Write his word on your heart. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your heart, and it's going to come out your mouth. Amen?